Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We first met the band Tennis back in 2011 when the husband and wife team of Elena Moore and Patrick Riley released their first album, Cape Dory. It documented their time living on a boat and sailing down the eastern seaboard. Back on dry land and over the course of two more albums, Tennis polished and honed its brand of indie pop. But apparently the lure of the sea was too much for them. Their new album, Yours Conditionally, was written on a boat again, this time on the other side of the continent. Elena and Patrick are here to play some of their new songs for us, beginning with the album's first single, In the Morning, I'll Be Better. Here's Tennis, live on Soundcheck. That is Tennis with their song called In the Morning, I'll Be Better. That's going to be on the next record called Yours Conditionally. And as always, Tennis is Elena Moore singing and playing our piano for the first time.
Yes.
And Patrick Riley on guitar.
Yes.
This is the first time that you guys have been here, just the two of you. It's always been with a band before.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever like really written songs that have translated as a two-piece.
I'm more nervous. This is like so scary because I don't have drums covering everything.
But we wanted to like change it up because we've been trying to, you know, make a session more intimate and more.
Well, what
more
we wanted to do is we knew that the songs, our goal for songwriting, because, you know, we set goals for each record. We want to, like, you know, evolve So, you know, we know the song is better if it can be performed in any iteration with any level of musicians. You know the song's working. If you need the full band and all the production, then maybe the song wasn't quite as good as it could have been. So these are the goals we set for ourselves.
Now, you normally tour, Elena, with an electric keyboard.
Yes, I have like a Nord, and I have like a million programs. Each octave is a different sound.
Right.
I have like, you know, Mellotron and
here
like
you
a
just
BC
got the,
and
the big old Steinway.
Yeah, I write on a piano at home, so it's nice for me.
Right. Well, it sounds great. Now, there is a video for that song, which is already out.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, you know, maybe a week or two old and yet looks like an artifact from 1977.
Yeah, that's like, I didn't really mean for like the whole aesthetic of this album to be so 70s. I just think I really liked the color palette from that time. And I bought these, we've been making all the videos and all of our photos from home. We just turn our apartment into a studio. And so I ended up with all these colored backdrops, and it just looked like, you know, 1977. So we've just kind of gone with it.
Yeah, and the song is kind of dark, and we didn't really want to take a literal meaning in the video. So we felt like having good energy and, like, good colors would probably be a better direction.
Yeah, we always want that balance of, like, lightness and darkness. Not too heavy, but not too saccharine.
Right. Now, let's talk about the balance of land and sea, because, you know, so these songs were written on a boat again. I would have thought after the first album, everyone talked about, oh, the hipsters on the boat, you know? That was something you needed to get away from.
Yeah.
And what drew you back to sailing?
Well, I don't think we really ever left. I think
we
stopped talking
sailing.
About it because it's so gimmicky. It's like the most gimmicky thing you could possibly think of.
Well, it started to feel like it, but we didn't mean for it to be. I mean, it's genuinely a big part of our life, but it was important to us as much as it was for anyone else to see if we could have albums that stood on their own feet without that, you know, mythical origin story to back it up. So after so many records and lots of years of touring, we felt like it was time to, we also felt like it was time to clear our heads and kind of get away from things. And we purposely took a whole year off of being a band, which was the longest, like we weren't even writing. We just took a break and we hadn't done that in a while and it felt really good. And we went back, we planned the biggest sailing trip we've ever done, tons of offshore miles. And it was like very physically and psychologically intense. We sailed 1,500 ocean miles, Pacific Ocean miles. So
from where to where?
We left San Diego, right? Mm-hmm. And then we went into we sailed into the Sea of Cortez, like around the Baja Peninsula. It was really weird. We actually sailed, one of the ports we entered was Cabo San Lucas, which I'd never been to, and it was in the throes of spring break.
But it was after easily the hardest trip we'll probably ever have. It was like there
was
like
the
breaking
loneliest
waves
voyage,
and, like,
so terrifying, and then everyone's like, you know, half naked and drunk on the beach when we pull in, like, windswept and terrified. And I was like, oh, this is Cabo.
So, you know, sailing sounds like a relaxing thing to do, but out on the open ocean, you guys got to be in, you got to be in shape, and you have to have your mental game on, I would imagine, too.
Ocean sailing is not relaxing. You know, like, sailing around in a bay or a lake for an afternoon is, that's a vacation, but the other kind. But I think we like that demand on ourselves because it opens up all the other parts of our minds, especially the writer parts of our minds.
Yeah.
It just frees every limitation, all of your inhibitions, because you see yourself doing what feels like an impossible thing and confronted by such greater challenges that it just, I mean, it makes songwriting just so effortless.
So among those challenges, were there moments where you thought, well, the challenge now is live through this night?
Yeah, I mean, we both, there was, on that trip to Cabo, the, like, ridiculous side of it, but there was, like, I don't know, the biggest waves we'd ever been in. It was, like, 12 to 15-foot waves. We accidentally got stuck in a storm that blew over from the Sea of Cortez that wasn't supposed to, so our weather window, you know, disappeared, and we had, like, one wave that came into the cockpit and filled the cockpit to the top with water, and Elena and I just looked at each other like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, this just got really dumb.
Yeah, but it was fine. I mean, there was never, like, we're going to die, but it was, there were moments where we're like, I don't know if I can tolerate one more second. I need it to be over.
Yeah.
And then you just have to live, you know, moment by moment until it's complete.
And then at that point too, we hadn't even written a song while we were on the boat. So we're like, this has been the most unproductive trip.
This is a terrible
and we're
writing
just
sabbatical.
Emptying our bank account on this and we're going to come back and have nothing.
But it turns out that
it all worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Sea of Cortez is one of those biodiversity places, right?
Yeah, it's this. I mean, I'm sure someone who knows more is going to correct me, but everyone in the Sea of Cortez kept telling us it was the second most biodiverse body of water. And lots of whales go there to breed. And we said that whales became the new squirrels because we saw them with so much frequency.
So now there is a distinction to be made here because the first album was really about, you know, being on the boat and, you know, taking that trip. And this album is not so much, I mean, the final track, Island Music, has a certain tropical languor to it.
Yeah.
But other than that, you would not sort of listen to this record and say, oh, yeah, that's seagoing music.
Yeah, well, I don't think we'll ever do that again. I think that was, you know, like we did
it. We don't want to become like Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
So one and done. The one album is all we'll do.
Right. But getting the creative juices flowing, you know, that was really an important part of this trip for you guys.
It was, yeah.
And then you go back home and you live in Denver, Colorado, which is about as landlocked a place as I can imagine.
Yeah, that's what made us dream of the ocean, because it was just, you know, an opposite that we had never experienced and made us really curious about it.
Yeah, and Elena had actually, like, she had never even seen the ocean before we went on our first trip, so.
And I actually only just learned how to swim on this last trip.
Really?
I'm very afraid of being in the water, but I trust our boat immensely, and I know that we're good sailors, so I trust us. But then I get in the water, and, like, all the terror comes to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. We're speaking with with the members of Tennis, Elena Moore and Patrick Riley. The new album is called Yours Conditionally. You want to play another track for us?
Yeah. Sure. This is one of the few love songs on the record, and I wrote the lyrics for Patrick on a night's watch, actually.
On a what?
A night watch. You know, when you keep
watch
at night.
Yeah. All right, so he's sleeping below decks and you're up top making sure everything's okay.
Exactly.
Nice. Yeah. It's called 10 Minutes, 10 Years, live performance in the Soundcheck studio from Tennis.
Hey, you want to give me that first chord? All right.
You could have me for 10 minutes. You could have me for 10 years. You are all these single moments. I could lose you in my tears. The feeling's lost without you. Oh, my baby, without you, oh, my love, the feeling's gone completely over. Those who measure time and distance haven't known love like mine. There is only perfect closeness. Don't you leave it all behind. The feeling's lost without you. Oh my baby, without you. Oh my love, myself completely. Oh, the feeling's lost without you. You could have me for 10 years. We only single moments, strung together.
Tennis, live on Soundcheck with another song from their forthcoming album called Yours Conditionally. Elena Moore and Patrick Riley are the core members of Tennis. When you do end up touring this spring, how big a band will it be?
There's four of us this time around. And we are actually, man, I'm toying back and forth with this, but we're adding some tracks this time. I watched Lorde win a Grammy, rightfully so, for Best Female Vocal Performance, and she just sang to a track, and everyone was, and it was, she was amazing, and I had a great time, and just nobody cared, and I was like, what are we doing hiring 78 people to come out? I mean, it's really tough on a band, so yeah, we're gonna embrace technology this time around.
Okay.
Trust fall.
Yeah, we never thought we'd be saying this.
Well, you know, there is, you know, you have to kind of play with light and dark, as you were talking about before, and you also need to play with calling back to earlier forms of music and yet living in 2017.
Living in the moment. Yeah, I thought our Luddism is no longer serving us.
Well, one of the ways that plays out is in the role, or maybe not the role, but the way you look at women in some of the songs.
Yeah.
You know? Like even the first song that you played for us, there's that line, "I'll be your woman."
Yeah.
Which does not necessarily mean what it would have meant if you were Tammy Wynette singing that line
exactly
30 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of this record is me thinking about how it would occur to me many times as I was almost essentially crossing an ocean for the man that I love, which is like one of the most used metaphors in love songs. I've also climbed a mountain for him while we're on the subject. And I kept thinking, how do I reconcile this with my feminism, like in a modern marriage, a modern partnership where we're both autonomous, equal partners? And it's not, I'm not just doing it for him, but love is motivating it. Like I do it for me. I get what I get out of it. But I think a lot about that when I write a love song, like I still want to assert my humanity in the relationship. I don't want to be erased by my love. So kind of looking for that boundary in my songwriting and in our music, and that was kind of the running theme for this record.
So there's a song called Ladies Don't Play Guitar,
exactly.
Which again means exactly the opposite of what the line is sitting there on the page saying.
I think this album too, there's like a whole nother side of it, and that is that we did this album all ourselves. We did it all alone. We recorded it ourselves, self-produced. We're putting it out on our own label, and a lot of those songs are actually, they're kind of like homages back to certain experiences where we learned, like, what are we doing this for? Like, what are we getting out of this? Like,
this has to be for us, and also not just us as a, you know, unit, but like, what does Patrick get? What do I get out of it? And I definitely thought a lot about certain archetypes or tropes, more like, for women that I feel like tend to come up a lot in a public setting. Hence, you know, Ladies Don't Play Guitar. And also there's another song on the record called My Emotions Are Blinding, which is also sarcastic. But I think a lot about, you know, the expectations put on me and sometimes the need that people have when they see a female performer, like she needs to be beautiful, she needs to be engaging, they want eye contact, they want smiles, you know, all these things, and a lot of that's not necessarily me.
Oh, come on, you smile all the time.
Well, when I'm like happy and in a personal experience, but when I'm on stage and I'm really focused, you know, I don't feel like a showgirl.
I know what you mean.
You know?
Yeah.
I am a happy
person. So you leave that to Patrick.
Yeah, exactly.
Make Google eyes at the crowd.
Yeah, give this guy a microphone.
I beg him to work the crowd for me, please.
Yeah. I've got my own zone.
So what mountain did you guys climb?
We biked Independence Pass.
Oh yeah,
Pass,
this was kind of
Aspen.
More of an accident. We
you
like
accidentally climbed a mountain.
Yeah, I mean we like
it
long
wasn't
distance.
An accident for you.
Well, I didn't. You know,
he knew.
I didn't realize what was going on. We like to long distance bike ride. We don't have a car. We just have like our touring van. So we bike a lot. But when we were in Denver one day, I was like, hey, let's bike from Frisco to Aspen. That seems like fun.
Because it's only like 100 miles or 90 miles, and we had done something close to that, and he didn't tell me about the climb, like the elevation. So as we were going, it was just directly up a mountain for like 8 hours, and I was like crying.
It's Independence Pass, and it goes up to, it's like 4,000 feet of elevation gain, and
But yeah, now I can say that I, you know, crossing oceans, climbing mountains. Yeah,
it definitely tested our relationship.
I was just going to say, if that didn't.
There was definitely a part where Patrick was biking next to me, and he had one hand on his handlebars and one hand on my back, and he was pushing me up, and I'd just given up pedaling, but I was just barely keeping my balance.
All right. But you didn't write a song about that one.
No songs.
I can't even imagine what the chorus would be.
So, Patrick, you mentioned that you basically did this record yourself, know, and Eleni said that you do the videos in your own apartment, right?
Yeah, we have a really great friend, a collaborator, Luke Aventer, who helps us. But yeah, it was definitely just Pat and I running this show.
Right. So I went on your website and found this infomercial for the new record. So that's you guys as well, putting that together. It is hilarious. It's like one of those late night, again, from like 1978, you know, showing the vinyl and stuff. What happens if people actually call the number on that infomercial? 1-844-TENNIS-1. Is that a real thing?
It's a real number, and you're going to hear one of our songs in the background, and then my friend Zasha Mamet, who was so graciously agreed to be the actress in the video for me, it's her being the operator describing your hold time, which is indefinite. And we had a lot of fun making that.
The website, by the way, looks like a desktop from 1999. So even there, even using the modern technology, you have to somehow make it call back to
that was Pat's idea. Yeah. I'm glad our humor translates, because sometimes we make jokes and people, like, when you render a joke to like video or whatever, it's hard to be confident that anyone is going to understand.
I can tell you for a fact that most people don't get our website as it being a joke, because we have like little analytics about it, and the amount of people who leave immediately because they think they have like a virus or something is very high.
Yeah, they're like, what happened to my computer?
I thought it was funny, but you, as the owner of that website, might want to think about those analytics.
I mean, we don't care that much, but it definitely doesn't
work. We're really bad at that sort of thing.
All right. So this next song you're going to do for us, Modern Woman, is this, Elena, is this sort of along the theme that you were talking about a moment ago?
Yeah, it is. And this is also, this is a song about a friendship that I lost that was really important to me. But it was really special, just thinking a lot about, you know, relationships between women on this one.
All right, let's hear the song. Modern Woman is from the band Tennis. The album is called Yours Conditionally. Live performance in the Soundcheck studio from Tennis.
Kate, I'm so afraid you hate me. I think I might have made it true. There's no need to implicate me. You were never one for proof. All I want is comfort in a touch or a look. All I want is to get back the closeness you took. I know that's the way you appreciate me. Even though we haven't spoken lately, oh, I think I might have made it real. Closeness you took. No,
that is a very different version of Modern Woman from the one on the record, but it sounds great. It sounds great in this scaled-down version.
Yeah, it's the way I wrote it.
Tennis is the band. They are playing here in New York at the Bowery Ballroom March 21st and 22nd, supporting the new album called Yours Conditionally. I love that album title.
Thank you.
And you could see it as a kind of a snarky, sarcastic thing, but it's kind of also a very kind of realistic approach to relationships.
I mean, it's actually like more about our relationship. Like, mm-hmm. we don't like this idea of like, I love you forever.
No matter what.
Like, that right. is such BS. Like,
right.
I mean, for being obviously in love, we have a pretty unromantic view of marriage, but also like, you're right what you were saying. Like, when I first said that, I told Pan, I was saying how funny it would be if I signed my letter, like, yours conditionally or whatever. It's like, kind of, takes the wind out of your sails. But yeah, I mean, it means a lot to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, very, very early in his career, before he was David Bowie, Bowie wrote a song called Love You Till Tuesday. And, the line was, give me your heart and I'll love you till Tuesday. not making any promises past that. It's like, so the whole love you forever, when the cops come to take you away because you've, lain naked on top of a tower shooting people on the ground, I'm still going to love you because you're my guy. That sort of thing really does not play very well.
There are limits to my devotion.
But it's also
healthy ones.
It's also our relation to the music industry, too. It's like
we thought about our band and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everything is conditional, including our repeated invitations to tennis. You guys, you can't come back unless you make another record.
All right.
That's the way it
agreed.
Works.
Fair enough.
Elena Moore playing the piano and singing. Patrick Riley on guitar. They are Tennis. And guys, really, it's always a pleasure to have you guys here.
Thank Feelings
you.
Mutual.
Yeah.
This is Soundcheck.
Have you heard a serpent speak?
Our technical director is Irene Trudell, who also engineered this session. Light production work provided by the New Sound staff, Karen Havlick. That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, our daily gig alerts, and our weekly music roundup. Check it out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.